Fellow Freedom fans, I'm excited about some of the things we've been hearing. We've been finding out that we're getting a broad spectrum of listeners. It's kind of anecdotal. We don't have a big major survey going out by any huge survey group, but we're starting to get indicators that those who aren't necessarily the demographic group that would normally be listening to talk radio are beginning to tune in to our show. It's kind of neat. I was talking to somebody in a office of one of the Florida congressmen today, and it was a Democrat, and I was just trying to schedule something, looking forward to getting lined up with a congressman to have an interview in the future. And the person I'm talking to, I was giving the information, how to contact me, things like that. And he goes, well, I know who you are. Now, this guy's in a long way from here. Let's just say he's a long way from here. And he says, yeah, man, my friends told me all about your show. It turns out he's just graduated from high school, and his buddies have been listening to this Faith and Freedom show. Hopefully they're challenged on what they're hearing and things like that. I don't know whether they were hearing the broadcast or they were tuning in online. I didn't get that information, but I thought that was fascinating that people, teenagers, are tuning into this show, and quite interesting. So that's encouraging. I've also been hearing that women, who are normally folks that do not listen to talk radio, have not been completely chased away by this program. Maybe I gotta demonstrate some more testosterone or something. I don't know. Maybe that'll scare them all away. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not hard-nosed enough to scare people away from my talk radio show. But my goal is really to challenge folks, no matter what their background, what their political perspective, to listen to me, even if they disagree. But the goal is they have to think about why they might disagree. Now, that's the tricky part. What is the basis of your thought process? That's important. Do you have a reference outside yourself? Because you know what it is? Sometimes everybody thinks they have their own opinion. No, you don't. You're just conforming to some socio-political norm that's been inspired by people have strong opinions or a strong voice about their opinions. So I just challenge you on that. I will say, when I look back at my high school years, I irritated the daylights out of my teachers because I was kind of funny. And the problem was I kind of did not really hold the public education to having much credibility. So I had a bad attitude. Let me just tell you, I needed to repent of my attitude. But because of that, what happened was I would just say things, and I'm thinking everybody's thinking it, but it turns out I would say it. And of course it would get a lot of laughs because it turned out that everybody was thinking it, but nobody had the audacity to say anything. So what's happening is I think I've just had a tendency in my past to stop and say, what's the basis of that? What's the basis of the statement? Somebody called the other day and asked me about something that's kind of a controversial thing. And I said, I don't talk about that stuff. Unless you can give me substance, I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to go to some subject that's got a lot of conjecture. So sometimes you can't avoid that, but we're trying to get to the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Today on this radio show, Senator Cary Baker has agreed to come talk with me here. The last portion of the show, Senator Cary Baker has proposed a House joint resolution for the Florida legislature that will give them the opportunity to consider changing the Florida Constitution, or putting something before you, to consider changing the Florida Constitution in a way that'll help protect you from any major dangerous innovations performed by the current Congress in Washington with regard to your ability to access health care. That's an interesting thing. So we're going to be talking to Senator Cary Baker from the 20th Florida Senate District today, and I believe it's at 4:35. I'm looking at my, yes, at 4:35, Senator Cary Baker is going to be on with us today, and I'm looking forward to that. On Tuesday, we've got some other, I'm not going to have to go on the whole list of people that we're going to be interviewing, but that's coming up here shortly. I'm going to go to something that I found. I thought this was fascinating, and I can't remember where I got this, and it'll come to me. It's basically a libertarian group that is very famous across the country, and right now I can't think of their name. John Birch Society. That's what it is. I think the John Birch guys. This is where I got this off their website. It says, using cash for clunkers, money to buy a muscle car. Now, look at this scheme. It says, ABC News reports that the Cash for Clunkers scheme, a government program that offers a rebate to people who trade in vehicles with low gas mileage for more fuel-efficient cars, is gaining popularity. That's what this, of course, it's gaining popularity. Now, I'm going to look at these numbers here. To me, I'm thinking how large this country is. This really doesn't seem that significant. It seems extremely insignificant. Just this, on first glance, looks like this program isn't completely effective. But let's look. It says the program is off to a fast start. It says in less than a week. Oh, okay, in a week, the first week. 8,000 cars have been traded in for new ones. Deals that might not have happened if Washington were not offering people $3,500 to $4,500 to get their aging gas guzzlers off the road. That was reported by ABC News. Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. It's the Cato Institute. This is who it's from. I got this up from the Cato Institute. In June, Cato senior fellow Alan Reynolds explained how to use that money to buy the muscle car or truck you always wanted. Now watch this. This is very interesting. I thought this was funny. He says you can use that money to buy a muscle car. In other words, a gas guzzler. So here's the scheme. Consider how easy it would be to game this giveaway program by using that $4,500 voucher to buy a big SUV or V8 muscle car. How's that? First of all, with Chrysler and GM dealerships folding, it should be easy to buy a mediocre Chevy Cobalt or Dodge Caliber for about $10,000 more than the voucher. What you do next is sell that boring EconoBox. Even if you end up with $1,000 less than you paid, that still leaves you with $3,500 of free money, courtesy of the taxpayers. As this process unfolds, the flood of resold small cars will make it even harder for GM, Chrysler, and Ford dealers to get a decent price for small cars because of added competition from, watch this, new cars being sold, resold as used. In other words, people getting sort of a, if you think about it, it's sort of like getting a car at the, below the market rate, below retail. Okay? So that's what they're thinking about doing here. So what kind of competition are these guys going to face when people buy their cars with a $4,500 discount and then maybe sell it to somebody else? Think about this. With a $3,500 discount. Who knows? Okay, let's see. He says, that's their problem, not ours, says this senior fellow from the Cato Institute. He says, so then, this is his idea. You take the $9,000 net from reselling the crummy little car plus the $4,500 from Uncle Sam, then use that $13,500 to make a big down payment on a used Cadillac Escalade, Toyota Tundra pickup, or Corvette, or maybe even some other large car. File this under unintended consequences. So there's an idea. So he's saying with this government bailout money, and I don't know that, I'm sure there's people have thought about this, buying a car with a $4,500 discount, selling it to somebody else for a $3,500 discount. You pocket $1,000. A little risk involved, but you never know. And then here's his idea. Do something like that. And then, of course, take the money, that extra money. You started out with $10,000. You now have $13,500 to use to buy a muscle car. Something to think about. I thought that was fascinating. Number here is 888-850-1872. You're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. And thanks to strange kind of meteorological effects, this broadcast that's coming out of a tower from Inglis gets swept to the east in a broad swath. And so we find that we have people in a larger area than the calculated norm are listening to this broadcast. And we welcome their calls and their listening and telling their friends, even in Orlando, that this is an exciting show where we talk about the issues of the day in such a way that hopefully you're challenged in what you think and what you know. So again, we're going to have Senator Cary Baker coming on here to talk about his proposal, what he's going to be putting before the legislature for this next session, with regard to a consideration to adjust Florida's constitution to protect you from the onslaught of somebody someplace else taking over your health and its care. I'm going to read something from the Florida Medical Association, and let's see what they said here. I think I got the wrong file here, but it'll come out in the wash. Let me just go to it. It says, Duval County Medical Society today said it would temporarily follow the lead of the Florida Medical Association in its stance on the House of Representatives bill that is called America's Affordable Health Care Choices Act of 2000 until it determines whether it agrees with the state association. The Florida Medical Association, we're going to have somebody talking to us next week from the Florida Medical Association. It'll be a doctor from the area, so you can hear what's going on on the ground here in this area. Released a statement, the FMA, Florida Medical Association, released a statement letter to the U.S. House of Representatives that its 19,000 members, were against a public option and insurance mandates and were critical of the bill's exclusion of medical liability reform. But I kept reading on this, and there's some bigger concerns that I hadn't heard anything about, and I thought this was kind of fascinating. But my question was, what do doctors in Florida think about this healthcare thing? I wonder what they think. I haven't heard much. Well, here I hear this. 19,000 member FMA is saying that they don't like this bill. The group also said limitations on... Now, this is what I thought was scary. The group also said limitations on physician ownership of hospitals and healthcare facilities, as outlined in the bill, would be counterproductive to the bill's intent to reduce costs and make healthcare more efficient and effective. In other words, are they really trying to reduce cost, or are they trying to take control? Now, look what he's saying. He's saying that there's something in the bill that says that physicians cannot own their hospitals or healthcare facilities. So we've got a doctor right down the street from me. They've got their home, and then out in front of their home is an office. And so they fit within the zoning requirements and things. So you can go to the doctor's office that they own. They own the office. In fact, it's most likely paid for. You know, they're not leasing the property. But so this is, I mean, think about businesses. If you have a business, are you not allowed to own the business? So this is saying that this bill would say that they're not allowed to own it. Now, one of the things that I noticed that they're complaining about is liability reform, medical liability reform. It occurred to me today, if you know anything about the limit to sue the government, there was a certain tradition of the English law that they carried into American law that people aren't crazy about, that, you know, they argue about, is that you can't sue the government unless the government gives you permission to sue them. Now, if doctors are complaining about being sued, one way to fix the problem is for the government to take over medical stuff. I mean, if they take over everything, guess what? You have to go to the government to ask permission to sue them. That means the legislature can very easily say, without violating any constitutional prohibition against the government's boundaries, they could basically say, you cannot sue because of malpractice. We do not give you permission since we own the healthcare system and its doctors and their practice, then that would limit people's ability. So who knows? Maybe in the background, this is some undercurrent of saving doctors from medical liability. And maybe it is some partnership with medical liability insurance companies. Who knows what's going on and driving this? We don't know. But again, the Florida Medical Association is seriously concerned, this is their quote, that the public health insurance option as outlined in H.R. 3200 will lead to a single-payer government-run healthcare system, which we believe is not in the best interest of our country. Now, that's the Florida Medical Association. We're going to come back later. We're going to have Senator Kerry Baker of the 20th Senate District. He's going to be our guest. And so just keep tuning in to this Eagle 104.3 FM. Our number is 888-850-1872.